A reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." In the name of Jesus, amen. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or settle disputes by what his ears hear. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and by his breath kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And a little child shall lead them. Cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. The weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. That's a different kind of world. Do you see this kind of world? When you watch the news, when you listen to the radio, do you hear of this kind of a world? I don't. And yet, this promise of God is why we have hope. This promise of the Messiah is why we have peace. And while the whole world around us may look a lot different than this, you and I have lived in this world as long as we've believed. To be sure, a different kind of world, which is the title of our meditation this morning. Certainly, I think we'd all agree, it would be nice if we could see more of this kind of a world, if we could hear more of this kind of a world, especially this time of year, when everything is supposed to be so, well, Christmas ready and perfect. But boy, those expectations and some of those memories, some of those sobering reminders of who's not with us any longer or what we're going to miss when we don't have them around. It's amazing how the holiday seasons, from Thanksgiving through the end of the year, can be, well, for some, no thanks. So where are you being messed with? Where do you find yourself being robbed of all that God intends from this world that would come when the Messiah would arrive? And he has. And it may be hard to believe, but we've actually lived in this different world for quite some time. I'm actually kind of excited to show you how here in a little while, because it really is a different world than the world we see and hear. In a way, we almost live with 2 feet, one in one world, one in the other, and sometimes we feel like we're just getting pulled back into the world that's, well, hard and harsh and brutal. A beat down in all kinds of different ways. But there is someone greater than Dr. Seuss's Grinch. And certainly there is someone who is victorious over the true opponent and his gaggle of demons, our Savior Jesus. To be sure, there can be challenges in your life and my life that various Grinches of our day and time would like to rob us of. But we live in a different age. We live in the Messianic age. That's what Isaiah 11 is all about. And to be sure, Isaiah uses incredible metaphor with the animal kingdom to explain to us a different kind of peace, a different kind of world. And yet it's a true world, and it's the one we've been living in. Before Isaiah 11, there comes Isaiah 9. And you're familiar with this. And why wait till Christmas to check this out? All about this world, a different world that we're living in because of Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Wow. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Wow. That's good news. That's a wonderful world. A different world. A world that comes with Jesus. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. There's been a different world for believers for quite some time, even as the world we're born into continues to rage against God and his will and ways. This is the world we live in. The world where we have a king who rules forever. And then Isaiah finishes verse 7. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's wonderful news. Makes a different world for you and for me and for all who believe. We call this in our Lutheran theology a reality we have by faith. that one day we will see with our eyes. We will hear with our ears. To be sure, we get glimpses of it from time to time in our lives and the lives around us, but this is a now, not yet theology. We have it by faith. We light a candle of hope, hoping that Christ will come back and reveal it to us today. But we do so understanding that what Jesus came and did in his first advent has us all prepared, because we have peace with God. Our war with God is over. In the forgiveness of our sins, in God's unconditional love, we are renewed day in and day out to live in a different world. A different world. Still, it can sound too good to be true. Well, it depends on how you identify this different world. We've actually been living in it for quite some time by faith. Think about it this way, using some words from Luther. So there's the one world, the unbelieving world, and then a different world, a world of faith. The unbelieving world does not trust that the body and blood of Christ are offered us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. How long have you believed that? How long have I? We've been living in a different world. The unbelieving world does not trust that baptism is the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. How long have you thought about it that way? You see, you've been living in a different world, a world by faith. In the messianic era of Christ's rule and reign that will have no end, where his government and peace will continue to grow. Even as the unbelieving world rages and chafes against such ridiculous notions. The unbelieving world does not trust, what does Luther say next? That the dead will rise on the last day. How long have you been living in that world? Quite some time. How long have you been saying, I believe in the resurrection of the dead? The unbelieving world does not trust that Christ, the Son of God, was conceived and carried in the body of a virgin. How long have you thought about it that way? You've been living in a different world. A world marked by grace and what Jesus came to do for you. A different world, to be sure. The unbelieving world does not trust that Jesus was born, suffered the very shameful death on the cross, was raised again, now sits at the right hand of the Father, and holds the power of heaven and earth. How long have you believed that? It's been a different world. The unbelieving world doesn't believe this. Luther says, all this certainly seems ridiculous and absurd to reason, the reason of the world. But not for you, for me. We believe, and we live in a different world. Knowing what it means to be the objects of God's love and grace, his forgiveness. Knowing what it means to have a Savior who is our Prince of Peace. Still, there can be challenges in your life and my life that make us anxious. How does Christ's rule and reign. Help us there. Maybe there are challenges in your expectations for the perfect holiday. Maybe you realize how it's disappearing quick and you don't see anything else but struggle. Where are you anxious today? And what does Christ's rule have to do to help you in that place or those places? Well, Paul says this. Let's read it together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So whenever you and I grow anxious, I suppose we could take it out on the spouse. Is that a good option? Hardly. How about just send out a post on Facebook? Think you'd get a lot of sympathy? How about yell at your neighbor? There's a lot of coping mechanisms these days that help people with anxiety that don't help them at all. In our anxiety, we actually have a tremendous opportunity to give it to somebody. And these are the Christmas presents that don't have to wait till Jesus' birthday. They are the things we can give to him whenever, wherever we find ourselves anxious. Paul says, with thanksgiving. I have a hard time there. Anxious thanksgiving. You know, anxious, the last thing we are is thankful. But here's the discipline of our walk with the Lord. To be thankful that we can give our anxiety to somebody. In fact, someone who can actually help us with it like no one else can. And what's interesting, Paul says, tell God. Well, Paul, he already knows I'm anxious. Yeah, but who needs to talk about it? We do. And he's the ear that will hear whenever we need to talk about it, wherever we're at. He won't ignore our text. He won't ignore our phone call. He won't delete our email. He wants to hear what we have to say. And what's beautiful about this, different world, a different world where he is reigning and his government and peace continue to grow, is that there's a promise. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, not peace of mind, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So who's taking care of his kingdom? Who's protecting his kingdom? Who's protecting your heart and mind? No wonder Peter says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. That's what it's about. It's a different world, to be sure. It's a world that we've been living in for quite some time, although maybe we're not always aware of it. But it came when Jesus first arrived on the scene, knit together in the womb of the Virgin, coming to our rescue, going the way of the cross for our salvation, so that we would be in his kingdom. Oh, it's a different world. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.